So, I'm going to begin the public facilities committee meeting tonight. We have a specially scheduled meeting to take up two items, which are grants of location. The first item is 211.17. We're joined by Eversource. Would you like to come to the table, please? For grant of location to install one pole in front of 559 Center Street and one anchor guide in a northerly direction to upgrade existing service. We took this up in July, and there were a lot of questions from the committee about why an undergrounded service was now going to be above ground. You sent us a memo a couple of weeks ago, and I read the memo, but I would like our engineer to interpret the memo and lay language for us. That would be you, John. So could you, would you like to introduce yourself, and then you can ask John to weigh in.
Well, good evening. My name is Marlene Sell, and I'm here on behalf of the Eversource Company. And I'm here at a petition for 543 Center Street that was continued from the last camp.
Thank you. So you all received the memo. It's a little bit of grief to some of us. Mm-hmm. So John, can you explain in the simple terms, what it seems to me is that there's a weight issue on one pole. If you were to try to put this stuff underground, there were several issues, but there's also a weight issue, so that's why you needed to add a pole. Am I kind of on the right track here?
So the existing service is coming from an existing manhole. They have single-phase service. Then they wanted to go three-phase service. It cannot come from the existing manhole. So it was the closest pole that could not come from there. We have two circuits on that pole, mm-hmm. and that's what the engineer has said. And if they went from there, then it would make the pole. The pole is out of using units. And as he said, if they don't want to put anything else on the pole, it's going to make it any more.
Right.
But there's a safety hazard and the pole puts them over.
Okay.
So again, like the engineer said in here, that was the best possible solution to get the service for 543 Center.
Okay. And that, and I also, if I could interpret this correctly, the explanation suggested that given it's a single service, that it's not a project of a size that could accommodate the extra cost of undergrounding, the new underground work that you might be able to do, am I correct?
According to this, yeah. Because the customer comes to us to ask for service.
Right.
We have a few of the customers here tonight.
Welcome. So we did leave the public hearing open on this one, but I'd love to hear from Mr. Dagley and Sir.
Sure. Because the configuration of geometry of the roadway, the wires are wired on the pole. The excess wire is still in the pole of 40 feet, so we have a guy wire making the grid of both of them come off.
Okay.
And can you explain the single phase of the two phase? We know that part? Okay. Okay. Never mind.
Okay. Terrific. So I'll reopen the public hearing. If you could state your name and address for the public record, who would like to speak first?
Yeah, Eric Johnson, 210 Petro Lane, Rockport.
You are?
I am. I'm a builder. I'm living on 549 Center Street.
Okay. So you are the engineer that has been hired to
design the electrical system for the owner.
Okay.
And build as the owner's rep.
Thank you. So what would you like to say?
You had a question on the three-phase or?
I did not, but if you can answer that question, Councilor Albright had that question.
Yes, well, the existing service is underneath the slab of the building,
mm-hmm.
and it goes across the street into the existing single-phase service. And the condo association would like to increase the capacity of the system because they want to add air conditioning to the building.
Okay.
So we need a larger pipe, but we can't increase the pipe size because it goes below the slab of the building.
Oh,
so in someone's condo is on that pipe, so we can't go to the existing manhole because we have to pipe through the building.
Okay, that was not clear last time, I think, for the rest of us.
Okay. So does that mean that you'll be abandoning the service that's coming to them will be abandoned eventually, and they'll be holding the service?
Correct. That's correct. It would be abandoned in place. And we're coming in and with a new roof in the driveway, essentially.
Okay. So does anyone else, I think we understand now? Okay, so is there anyone else who would like to speak to this petition? I think we were just looking for that understanding. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing, and I would like a motion.
So I'll move to approval.
Okay. All right, all in favor? We have four present. We have four in favor. And we have one abstention for late arrival. All right, you're all set. Thank you very much. The next item, if I can deal with pretty quickly, this is 210-72. It's a Verizon petition for grant of location on Christina Street. This is one of three grants of locations that we are going to be hearing. Are you from Verizon? Please have a seat. The other two are about moving poles. This one is for the underground work, which is critical to getting this intersection work started, which has been delayed since June. So with that, I will recognize the gentleman to my left and could you say your name and
for the record. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Evan Bryan. I'm a right-of-way engineer within Hammond Data Solutions, representing Verizon New England at 925 by 2 bucks. The petition this evening is as it was described by the chair lady. Place approximately 200 feet of underground conduit from existing manhole number 301 or 60401 to existing manhole pole number 60401. This is associated with MassDOT project number 608137, I believe. And that's what necessitated placing this underground conduit.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? We all know what this is. Is there anyone here to speak for or against this petition or comment? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing, and I would like a motion.
I'd like to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Councilor Albright. All in favor? 5-0. Thank you very much. We're all done, and we have a minute to spare.
So I'm not in the committee, I'm moving.
No, we're all invited to this meeting. But not to sit at the table, that's your salary.
They were almost going to take it up. I understand that we could discuss it again in September, but there were people that would like to hear the presentation. And so, you know, we had an agreement with the college that they wouldn't take up anything of this magnitude during the summer. We talked about that. So we're asking that Brian Lee was like, well, what we really would like to present. So unfortunately,
wanted to come here early?
If you need the chair, I'll get up.
No.
No, you can stay
now,
there.
Now, how many years has been avoiding being a protestant services?
Oh, that's right.
You didn't have permission
to do
it.
Don't even plan.
I got it when I got on the board. Oh, no, I was on it.
Okay.
You bad and start to clock. I went at 10 and I was like, no. Well, Jim and I are going after Labor Day. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no, I didn't realize that.
Oh, I knew. I didn't reply all.
I was not aware that it was tonight.
And, it doesn't need to be taken up tonight, so I want to have taken up on an engineer more time. And he sent out a memo, but the then obviously I think the boss is letting you know, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of time before state council, if not afterwards.
Yeah.
Just walking. We had a discussion. We were just walking. We got lunch. We got a couple times. Yeah, get lunch and walk around through. Yeah, we did a dog. Yep. So that's that. You know, the dog, but we did come with a little. Hello, everyone. This is the regularly scheduled program for the services committee meeting for August 14th. But at the beginning of the meeting, but from the committee, we have Councilor Sanjillo, Austin Fox. I am Chairman Rice, Baker, Councilor Schwartz. We also have in the audience Councilor Rado, Councilor Gentile, Councilor Sandberg, Councilor Albright, and Councilor Hardy. Councilor Crawford.
Also Councilor Leary.
People just keep showing up. Councilor Leary, Councilor Tony. By the time I have the full city council here. Okay, the first item we're dealing with is docket item 138-17. I was told that by David also we can do a vote of NAN on this item. And then we'll go into the other items regarding the city of New Charter. The new charter commission's final report to the city council, is there a motion NAN on this item? This is the first time the discussion points will be on the other end. Okay, there's a motion ending at all in favor. That is unanimous in committee of 5-0. Yes. Okay. So, but Josh, so I think you're up next to if you can. Give an introduction of all the members of the Charter Commission for you, and then do a presentation about your report.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak. As I said, I am sort of representing the Charter Commission here. To that end, I want to express my support of Kyle Cohen's reappointment to the Fire Safety Committee. And John Cable's here as well. But,
you don't appreciate why it's done.
So, what I thought I would do very quickly is give a view of what the Charter Commission proposal was, talk a little bit about the requirements of the mailing. A little bit about the budget, because I know you're looking at all those things, and then if you want, I can talk about a letter that we submitted to all, highlighting some recommendations we have. I don't intend to be very long, but I will go through those things as they okay do. So in terms of our proposal, I think everyone has had sufficient time to look at it. I know a lot of you have looked at it in detail. Some of you have even had an opportunity to form committee to look at it. Essentially, the top things we're recommending are reducing the size of the city council to 24 to 12 members, adding term limits to the office of City Council and Mayor, confirming the strong mayor form of government, updating the school committee responsibilities in line with existing state law, codifying existing practices in terms of the financial procedures of the city, requiring a fresh look at the comprehensive plan every time there's a new mayor, that's within 2 years of there being a new mayor, preserving neighborhood area council, but asking the city council to look at adopting ordinances to that end, and requiring every public body to state a policy on public comments, and reviewing the charter every 10 years. I could go more in depth in any of that, but my impression of the situation is that people know the report very well. In terms of mail, because I know one of the things you're going to be looking at is the process of mailing our report to each home. I want to make you aware, if you're not already, of two legal requirements. There is a home rule act for the city of Newton, chapter 274 of the Act of 1987, and that act requires the following. At least 10 days before an election, the election commission must mail to each resident of one or more voters the full text of any ballot question, a fair and concise summary of the question, as well as arguments for and against that question. That is new specific legislation that the city passed through the state legislature. In addition to that, there are the general laws under which the charter commission is operating that require the following. The city council is required to order the proposed charter to be submitted to the voters at the first regular election, at least 2 months after the charter commission submitting this proposal. This is to be paid for, prepared by public authority and paid at public expense. A copy of the ballot question and a summary of the question are filed with the clerk no later than 35 days before the election. That has been done. The charter commission is required to prepare a summary of this proposal. That is also compiled with the clerk. And the city council is required to file the final report to be printed and copies to be distributed to each resident of one or more voters, and this must occur at least 2 weeks prior to the election. The city clerk is also required to keep additional copies of the report in the clerk's office and post one in the clerk's office as well. The third thing I was going to talk about is the budget. I'll give you a very quick overview of where the charter commission's budget stands and how that money could be used. The city was legally required under the law to buy $7,500 to the city council to the charter commission. The commission then came before the city council and requested additional funding. We requested a total of $45,500, which was to be for us to hire a consultant, for copy, mailing, and postage, for us to hire a part-time clerk, and a little extra for unanticipated obligations. At the moment, the city informs me that there is approximately $21,500 left in the charter commission account. We tried to cut costs where we could, we tried to limit our expenditures, we tried to come in under budget, and that we did that. So that $21,500 is our belief that we can go towards to offset the cost of the mailing, and we'd be happy to sign and write whatever you need for us to do that so that the city can offset the cost of that mailing with the remaining charter commission budget. And our estimates that we have gotten is that the most the mailing could cost is about $27,000. There are ranges of options, but the highest one we got is $27,000. That brings in, if you would like, to the letter that we submitted to you that gave a number of recommendations, including maintaining a robust 3-1-1 system. These are recommendations that are designed to be, regardless of whether the charter ballot question passes or not. These were some things that the charter commission came across in our review that we thought was noted, that we thought it would be helpful for you, the city council, to submit, so we do have some of the knowledge that you gained through our process. And regardless of whether the question passed, we thought these are things that could warrant the city's attention in the future. So we found that maintaining a robust 3-1-1 system was important, especially if there are fewer city councilors, in light of the nature to which constituent services play a role in the lives of city councilors. We articulated a little bit about the special permit granting authority because it was a question, it was a subject of a lot of debate, it was a subject of many of our hearings. So we articulate what we found and the reason why we didn't specifically address that topic in our charter proposal. A requirement that the comprehensive plan be reviewed regardless of whether the charter proposal passes. Our advice was to set an ordinance establishing a membership and term of the planning and development board. We talked a little bit about the charter objection, which does appear in the in the charter. And in any situation, there were situations where it might be disadvantageous to have that play a role. So there's an advice about what the city council could do with that. There's a paragraph on neighborhood area councils and things that the city council can do in prison, as well as the design review committee. And city council compensation slash salaries, which should be increased, because we've all heard that before. The nature of providing legal counsel specifically to the city council, and then consistent with that might be beneficial to the city council. Again, the requirement about public comment, and establishing specific criteria for public comment that there is needed, as well as some thank yous to all of you for your patience. With that, I will wrap up and have to answer questions anybody has any, but those are the things we wanted to say in terms of the agenda items that will be scheduled for discussion, whether it is in NAM or not. They will come forward.
Okay, thank you very much, Doug. But should we deal with the item in finance, which is we're going to hold until September, or should we go right into the questions for Josh on the other chatter?
Hold the finance item, but we've got to hold it anyway.
Yes. So, Lenny and I will have a joint meeting for the funding for the 2,400 the budget reserve for the mailing until September, one of the September meetings, either with the programs and services, the finance meeting in September.
I mean, you could take it up tonight if you want and vote on it, and finance is going to take it up in September. So, I mean, it's not like we have to have a joint meeting.
Okay.
Whatever you and your committee want to do.
What does the committee want to do? Whether we want to just deal with this item now or deal with this item in the future?
I'd rather deal with it in the future when we've got the content.
Time is short, so
why don't we have a motion to hold? We'll deal with it in September, first programs and services meeting in September. So there's a motion to hold on document 220-17. It's on the mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $6,400 in the budget reserve to supplement funds previously appointed to the charge making in order to distribute and printed copy of the charge making final report to all voters and households as required with Massachusetts law. So there's a motion to hold on this item. All in favor?
Can I ask them a question, or do I?
You'd ask the question, but it's a little less systemic to vote. Okay, do the question, and then we'll finalize the vote.
First of all, this is great. I thought this was a really a nice service for us. The 311 system, obviously we have one already. So did you hear any specific complaints about the way Newton does 311?
We did, and I realized in reading that letter it wasn't as articulate as it could have been. The recommendation was essentially maintaining a robust 311 system, which we thought was going to be important regardless of whether the question happened.
But there wasn't a theme running in there about responses.
We didn't have specific feedback about the 311 system versus another community. Not that much on the moon.
Okay,
so there's a motion to hold on Dr. M. 220-17, all in favor again. Okay, that is unanimous, 8-0. Okay, so now we're going to be getting to the point of the telecommission. Do you want to have questions to Josh first, or do you want to give any feedback Lyle first?
Well, I guess I want to talk about process. I have some questions for the commission about process that I think is going to lead me to move a hold on this second item, the one we have to discuss tonight, so that we can get an answer to several of those questions, and then vote it out, as I understand from Mr. Olson. We need to vote the election item out by the second meeting in September, because the ballot can't be printed in advance of that time anyway. So in other words, we won't know the results of the preliminary until the preliminary happens, and you can't put the ballot together. So I have some questions that relate to some of the aspects of the Charter Commission's report, as well as to how it goes forward on the ballot process, that I'd like to raise with the committee and then see what the commission feels about that. So I'm open to how these discussions.
Yeah, but why don't you deal with the questions now and maybe get some feedback from the
committee where we go?
Okay. Yeah. It seems like there is going to be a hold on this item until a future meeting. So why don't you do your question?
I think we're trying to do a lot in a hurry, and I think the commission, first I want to acknowledge the enormous amount of work. I've sat down on several commission meetings myself. I know other people here. And we may have differences of opinion about different elements of the recommendation, but I don't think anybody here would differ with the degree of devotion and hard work that the members of the commission have put on this item. And I think that that ought to be acknowledged right up front. Regardless of where we come out on policy, the process has been vigorous on their part, and it deserves the respect that they have put into it. Second, I just want to, unless he forgets to vote for himself, I think the chair of the commission is actually going to join us at some point, those of us who are reelected in January. So, you know, if that works out, you know, congratulations to him and congratulations to everybody who is going to work with him. So the questions I have go to several pieces of process, but also the process as we go forward. This is a procedural matter. We've got the commission report in front of us, and everybody's got a copy of it. Is there a redline version of the charter that you're going to provide us at some point? In other words, showing the existing charter with the changes. This shows the charter as recommended, but doesn't show the actual amendments. There's a summary of different is there, can you provide that to us?
I can. It has more electronic copy that
I've
prepared that. We have prepared that at one point. I don't know if it was the final language of the final report, and there were a couple of discrepancies because a couple of the articles didn't work very well because there were large numbers of changes, so it appears that everything has been changed, and vice versa, there were places where it appeared that everything has been changed. That's not able to overcome those electronic difficulties. I'd be happy to provide that.
If anybody can help you overcome those difficulties, Mr. Olson can, and if they can't, you know, you've got IT people. But I think it would be helpful because over time, you made multiple changes in your different redline versions that I saw, at least in the drafting stage.
Right.
But in order for people, at least who are interested in understanding the details of what has changed and what's not, it's really hard to make that judgment without a redline. And so I think it would be helpful procedurally. Most of this stuff, it's hard to do this tonight, and that's one of the reasons I think it's in order to hold on to this so we know a little more of the impact. So that's the first sort of process question. The second one relates to there were two legal issues, there were several legal issues that are sort of marbled into the Mr. Olson's report. I don't think you have to stand up for my purposes, but it's just, sorry.
He told me that you have to stand in your presence.
I hope not. Anyway, so I guess one of the questions that has been raised with me, and I've tried to respond to it in thinking about this, is that as Mr. Metzger Olson's memo indicates, we have two statutes that give us guidance here. You articulated both of those. There's the Charter Commission statute, which is a general law, and then there is a state statute that is specific to Newton, which talks about a ballot summary, and also opinions pro and con. And those arguments pro and con are being developed by ballot committees independent of the city council. So that's really not our concern. Our concern is the election item itself. And one of the things I was puzzled by is that we have a general law that says the Charter Commission must prepare its language. And you've indicated you've prepared language, and Mr. Olson provided that to us. The report itself does not have that language in it. It just says on page 11 there is a vote yes in a box, but it references language, but none is included. So it implies to me that the final report is this document, which will be sent to everybody, as I understand it, in the city. But that language itself appears only on the ballot. It's not part of this document. And one of the questions that's come up is whether and how we can clarify that language a little better than the commission has done in the respect of this aspect. This is where it goes into the second item. The second item, in a sense, not item, but the second statute, says that for every question like this, there will be a summary prepared by the city solicitor. And it talks about a fair and effective summary, if my memory is right, and it's also given the statute as part of this memory. So there are sort of two conflicting provisions. My understanding of the way the law is interpreted, at least as I've seen it historically in this body, is that a special act controls over a general law. So that there is language to be prepared, it's prepared by the city solicitor, not necessarily by the Charter Commission. Now, the Charter Commission has prepared language, as you've indicated, for it. But what I'm curious about is whether it's still open for the council to vote this item with The assumption that there will be clarifying language, and I'm prepared to offer some, has been suggested in concept to me, to the council, to the commission, and or to our city solicitor, or both, so that it is clear what the citizens are voting on in a way that doesn't necessarily take position one way or another. That's for the advocacy document. But at least clarify what we're voting on. And let me be specific. There is language which speaks in the draft language prepared by the Charter Commission, and we have no draft language yet from the city solicitor, to my knowledge. Right? And it says that there will be members who are, be specific, it says 8 members representing wards and 4 members who can live anywhere in the city. Then it says all members will be elected for citywide for 2-year terms. And then it goes on about the school committee with 8 members representing wards. I guess part of the confusion, and I think that engenders, is that one of the recommendations that's really key to what you all have done, and the citizens will have to decide whether they like this recommendation or not. It's not our judgment here to make that call. Each of us have an individual opportunity to do that. But it seems to me important to clarify that if you're doing this to make the language parallel, you would say that 8 members who live in their respective wards indicate that ward councilors who are elected only by their wards would be eliminated from the council, so there's no misunderstanding about that, and clarify also similar language relating to the school committee that they live in their respective wards. In other words, there's the idea here that the commission is recommending, it seems to me, is that there is a residency requirement for positions that are at large, with the exception of the 4 completely citywide ones. But the idea of representation is an idea that carries a connotation that is different from residency. And I think in the interest of clarity for the public and everybody for the sense that the process is completely fair, that it would be important to have that language clarified. Now, the commission may have the authority to do that. It may be the city solicitor who needs to have the authority to do that. But whoever has the authority, and that's one of the questions we may need to get resolved from the law department, I think it's important that that be clarified. And I have some draft language that I've asked Mr. Olson just on one page to have for me to give to you, which I hope the commission might entertain as a way of clarifying exactly what we're going to be voting on, because the city council has to vote to put this on the ballot, and the question is, what are we putting on the ballot? So that's, let me pass this around to the committee, and then if you'd hand one to Mr. Kinsman and the other members of the and then there's one other legal question that has been asked of me, and I don't know the answer, but Mr. Pryor, who's a citizen, I don't have a whole lot of copy of this.
But David Olson
just wants to go make copies. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't have enough. So that is a chance to look at the language, basically, which substitutes references to where people live to the term representation and clarify that the ward councilors would be eliminated under the charter. The other legal question, I think, is that it's been raised that the current state law requires bodies like the charter is created for the city. We currently have a 24-member body, but to have an odd number of members. And the question is that issue been firmly resolved? Because, to the best of my knowledge, it was not raised by the Charter Commission directly with the Attorney General. So that is a question that's still outstanding, I think, that needs to be clarified for the public as well as for members of this body. So those are some of the issues that I think would warrant more time for elaborated discussion as well as a response from the Commission and the Law Department, because those are questions that are outstanding. The other legal issue, I don't think is an issue, but I just want to suggest it may be worth confirming. There are 2 routes to change the size of the city council, as I understand it. One is the Charter Commission, which the Charter Commission has taken to recommend that outcome. The other route is a home rule petition to the legislature offered by the city council with the approval of the mayor, and just like we changed the name of the Board of Aldermen to the city council. We've seen opinions in the past consistently that both routes are available. My understanding is that's still true, but if there's any question about is this the only avenue for reducing the size of the council, if that's the objective in mind, I want to be clear that it isn't the only avenue. So those are the three legal dimensions, the legal issues that I think that policy kind of impacts that we ought to be clarified before we vote this item out. And therefore, I would move hold and then have an opportunity for discussion around that motion and then see where we go.
I've
been at this business for a while.
Some members of the
program.
Yeah.
Can you clarify
exactly
the odd number?
I asked Mr. Olson to make a copy of a letter that I received a copy of from Mr. Pryor, directed to the Law Department, saying that there's a state statute that says that bodies like governmental bodies should have odd numbered members. In other words, there should not that we should be odd people, we're all odd. There should be, you know, 9 versus 8, 11 versus 10, that sort of thing. Now, how you compose a body of that sort is not in that issue. That's something that's open. Okay?
And so Andy provided a list of cities and towns, and they all had odd numbers, which I was unaware of.
So I think that's an issue to be clarified, because I don't think the Attorney General opined on that question. And so maybe I'm wrong, but I'd be glad to be educated otherwise. So those are the three. The last one is just a confirmatory question. The other three relate to how we deal with the language and also just clarify for the public and everybody else the issue about even versus not number.
Councilor San Joan and then Councilor Schwartz.
So I just want to add to what Councilor Vickers said. The Attorney General did not opine on that, and I called the Attorney General's office to find out why. It wasn't a question that was asked to them by the Charter Commission. That is why that wasn't apparently not asked. And there is a provision in the state law that says, and I'm trying to look at the name of the body, multiple member boards. I think that's the phrase. And it's whether or not our charter identifies the city council or school committee as a multiple member board. And that is a question that actually should be posed at some point to the Attorney General to point out.
Let me ask one other thing. It's not a question I would ask, but I think Councilor Norton is not here. It asks is whether there's any limitation in the state or constitution or otherwise on term limits. I don't know the answer to that, but she'd ask that question. I don't know.
Councilor Schwartz? So this is just a little bit different. It's not so much substance as the legal substance that Councilor Baker was talking about. But I was just curious, given the legislation that that so clearly specified how the mailings go out that include the, you know, 250 word arguments in favor and against and the solicitor's summary. Wondering how much of that affects the summary, executive summary of the charter itself. So what we're looking at will be sent to 27. Well, it costs $27,000, but 33,000, I think, households, includes, in addition to the actual charter language, an executive summary, which, of course, is useful to an extent because it points out some of the changes, but at the same time, it could be construed as an advocacy element. And certainly, I mean, both in its effect, but also even explicitly in a couple places, it actually, understandably, the members of the Charter Commission are promoting their changes. So, in a couple places, it says we urge the citizens to vote yes. And there's actually a graphic of the ballot with a yes check mark. So, to the extent that that could be construed as an advocacy element, I wonder if that flies in the face, or at least is not in the spirit of the special law that was referenced about how the ballot question needs to be sent to voters.
David, any questions?
Yes.
Although there is advocacy,
It is perfectly fine for the strategy to turn that out. Second panel is the one that comes from the election committee. And that has three components to it. It has coverage prepared by our law department. And then they 250 word statement both for and against from the committee that has been established as far as working in favor of the referendum and against the referendum. There's nothing from the public commission itself that goes into the election commission. And that's when the election commission and the referendum commission get together to talk about detailing to see if there is a way to combine them or
So I guess the question is whether the Charter Commission is charged with making that draft. Is open to clarifying the language so that it will be unambiguous about what is being proposed.
I'm happy to speak on these things. Thank you very much. You mentioned that the state law and the new home rule conflict with one another. I don't think that's the case. I think they work very nicely in harmony with one another. In a couple of instances, one is more specific than the other, but both can be met very easily. For example, a requirement that something be mailed out at least 10 days in advance, and another requirement that something be mailed out at least 14 days in advance, is met by mailing something out 15 days in advance. It's both nicely. So just as an example, they work in harmony with one another. To respond to the question about even or odd numbers, first and foremost, the people are left with two choices of even numbered city council, so odd is not even on the table at the moment. But to respond specifically to the point, city council is actually exempted from the definition of multiple member body, and that's both in the city charter as well as the state law. So the law that you're referring to is not applicable, and I think that's why the Attorney General did not raise the issue when the whole charter was run by the Attorney General's office. We also asked our consultants the very same question, and we're getting the same legal response. We did raise the question about whether there was the check on the question was considered advocacy, whether that was okay to mail home. We discussed the Office of Campaign and Political Finance and were assured that it was all okay, that all these things were perfectly fine, were perfectly acceptable, were well within the law. So if there are legitimate questions, I think they've been answered. If the purpose is either way, we can wait for them. The other question about the language, the Charter Commission met several times, went over word for word the language of the question, and it ended up with a unanimous vote of 9-0 in terms of the explanation that we went over. We talked about the exact sentences that you referenced, and thought in particular to look at the way you described the school committee, which I don't think anyone has a problem with, at least in Houston. Pretty self-explanatory. There's a sentence in there that explains that all members will be elected by the city at large. So we think it's pretty straightforward. We'd like to take it out on this.
Thank you, Josh. Allison, and then Lynn.
Thanks, Josh, because he answered part of my question already. So I wanted to also just clarify in terms of, so this is what's going to go out from the city on the ballot question. It's going to be very similar to what the state sends out whenever there's a ballot question in terms of the format. There's a pro and a con, right? So there's an advocacy for the question, and then there's an argument against the question.
Correct. Sure.
So who will write the pro and con for the charter?
There are two committees that have been formed who are advocating for and against. One is the charter, and sorry, I forget the name of the opposition, but they were both sent out to write those statements and both of them were able to do that. So I haven't seen those statements to do yet. I haven't seen them.
Okay. I just think it's really important that we stay as neutral as possible when we do the city mailings, because I personally support the charter. I want to make sure that it comes across as neutral. And I don't want to have an argument, ask whatever way to go, that he somehow was unfair or biased. So I think we should use extreme caution with how we think about that and how our mailings go out to the rest of the city.
It's the responsibility of the election commission, and they have been taking it very
seriously. Okay, I'm glad to do that.
Lenny?
Well, on that last point that Allison made, Allison, I don't know why you're so concerned about neutrality when, even though it's well within the law, to send home a document where it's checked off, yes, I'm not so sure that that's being neutral or playing fairly, so I don't share the concern. I had a question on the document that is from David Olson that was dated Monday, August the 14th. And on the bottom of the second page, I just want to be clear about what's going out when. It says the council is the form of the question on the ballot is described by law, and then it goes on to say the ballot text will read, and it has the question. Fortunately, it doesn't tell people whether to check yes or no, so I appreciate that. But it says effective with the 2019, is that the language that is, as of right now, is going to go on? All right, so in the second paragraph, it says effective with the adoption of this charter, school committee responsibilities will be updated to reflect changes in state law. I get that. And then it says modern practices will be adopted for financial reporting, including an annual financial audit. Now, I assume the Charter Commission realizes that we have an annual financial audit. So this implies that we don't do that. And I kind of take that a little personally. Do you have
Mr. Olson's memo?
Then also in that same sentence, it goes on to talk about inventory of capital assets in progress on the capital improvement plan, which we take up at least twice annually and have a progress report. So it implies that we're not doing these things now, and that the moron that's in charge of the finance committee isn't doing his or her job. And I personally don't think so. We have an audit committee that basically, and it's not me, it's Council Fuller that's in charge, that meets pretty much year round. So I wish you would take a look at that language, because I don't think it's fair to imply that we don't do those things right now.
So I'm going to just add, I want to take some clarification, but I'm going to add that I think using words like modernize are really somewhat loaded phrases, and I just think you want to just say what you're doing rather than describing the way that makes it seem like it is, it needs to be up. And you can simply, I think, very easily say, we'll codify as a matter of charter. If it's not in the charter now, that we're going to do the audit. That would be, I think, a more objective way of stating it. I'd like to just understand the process a little better to make sure it's clear.
Before you do that, Josh, do you guys have any feedback now on that, or we can talk about it at a later date?
No, I don't have the report in front of
me,
so we can have
that.
Right here.
Right here.
And you know what? It may simply be that it's not in the charter now that we ought to have an annual audit, and you may want to make sure that it's memorialized so it does happen. But on the other hand, please look at it from my perspective. It makes it sound like we don't even audit our books.
I think, if I may, it's a very fair statement, it seems to me, to say we need to do more than put it as a matter of practice or even as a matter of ordinance. We want it to essentially be in our constitution. But then just say that rather than make it, because I read that, and it read to me like it was not being done at all, and that clearly isn't true. And I don't think that's what you intended. I assume you intended to say we want to make this part of the Constitution as a requirement. Just say. That's why I object to words like modernize.
Codify.
So I just I want to understand a little bit better process here if I could immediately.
I think David would be the best for that.
So the Charter Commission is going to mail its report out first, and they're entitled to do that. And is that going to go on a Charter Commission letterhead, or how is that going to appear when it gets to the voters?
From what I understand,
So it's very clear that it's a Charter Commission document and not an Election Commission document or a City Council document.
Right. Okay. The flyer that the Election Commission is sending is going to be
a cover piece with that Charter Commission report, or is it simply put in an envelope and mailed? How does that work?
I don't know
the final format of the mailing. Well, I mean, personally, I suggest that's actually rather important. If your Charter Commission is absolutely entitled and should put out its work to the citizens, I think what is said in there needs to be explicit that it's coming from the Charter Commission and is not an official for or against city document. And I am concerned that the average voter would not really understand that. I mean, I think you need to be very thoughtful about all the documents that go out to people so they're sent out in a very accurate fashion. So I don't have an answer for you as to the best way to do it. I don't know if that's something that needs to be done in conjunction with the Election Commission, but I think you want to be very careful there.
I agree. We have tried to be very careful about our materials. I agree that they should be pretty clear what that does to voters. Part of the format of the mailing hinges upon how much money there is to do the mailing, and you know different things cost different amounts. So there hasn't explicitly been a budget for this, so we've been sort of flying in the dark a little bit. We would have liked to have had a budget, but I understand that's not going to happen tonight. Having said that, we're happy to take under advisement all the feedback we've gotten tonight about all the ways and continue to look at
it. I say it takes a little more money to make sure it's crystal clear where it's coming from and that the proper process in place. I personally think that's money very well spent. I think we owe that to the voters, no matter what side of the proposal you're at. May I just ask them?
Yes.
So, Ms. Wilson, the summary that the Charter Commission has prepared, is that going to go on the from the Election Commission without change, or is that the change for the Election Commission?
No,
that's
what's going to be on the ballot, which includes that summary that the Charter Commission provides, needs to go into our Election Commission. That's what you got there on the ballot.
Okay, that's
including that aspect there. However, these are summaries written by the law department, the legal solicitor's office, explaining it, and then 250 words from the
So, Mr. Councilor Baker's comments, were they directed then to what the summary is going to be as prepared by the Election Commission?
The Election Commission doesn't prepare a summary
of
the law department.
I'm sorry, the law department. Okay.
So, part of it seems to me that there's, clarify and maybe Mr. Olson can follow up. My understanding from what I've heard so far is that on the ballot itself will be yes, no, and the language prepared by the Charter Commission.
Correct.
Which is what's in your memo as of right now.
And that cannot get changed?
Well, the Charter Commission can change it.
Other than by the Charter Commission, that cannot get changed by the Election Commission.
My understanding.
Legal
right.
Okay.
Then, before the actual ballot is voted, you know, before people go into the voting booth or take an absentee ballot, there will be a document sent out which has the case for and against by the two ballot committees, and a summary prepared by the city solicitor, but also including the language Mr. Olson indicated, not the city solicitor's summary. That's a separate representation prepared by the law department, as I understand it. But it will include the language the Charter Commission has given that will be on the ballot, right?
So,
and then there is the actual report, which is in the form we see it tonight. Maybe it'll have your color pictures, or maybe it won't, depending on the budget. That goes out to all the voters independently, right? And it says nothing in it about the exact vote of this language. It just talks about what the Charter Commission recommends, and it has the checkbox that Councilor Gentile referred to. So I think one of the operational questions and reasons for holding this item to have the Charter Commission reflect on the comments is whether their language is still key here, because it's going to appear at least twice. It's going to appear on the ballot itself, and it's going to appear in the citywide mailing by the Election Commission about what people are voting on. So to be very clear about what people are voting on and not have a sense of advocacy to that. The report has a sense of advocacy, and as I understand it from what has been said by Mr. Olson and what the law provides, the Charter Commission is in charge of its own report. It can send anything it wants out as a report. It can have pictures of all of you or pictures of nobody, you know, it's just your choice. But I think for the point that Councilor Leary made about having whatever outcome occurs have a sense of absolute fairness around the clarity of what's being voted, I think it's really important that the Charter Commission think again about the language it's going to actually put on the ballot that will be part of the ballot as well as the pre-ballot election mailing.
Vicki, you had a question?
Yes, I have a comment and a question. In regards to I have a suggestion for a language change that is simple and would help clarify that issue, where it says, including an annual financial audit. If it's just that including its annual financial audit, that states that we do an audit now, but it also states that we will and must use common practices to do that. Just a comment. And the next sentence, that the voters' access to an institutional referendum will be maintained, with a minimum of 20% participation required to get votes. I understand that 20% is a change from the previous percentage. There was no percentage voted before, and so we're just clarifying it by putting 20%, and by adding up the 20%. Okay.
Dick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My colleagues have made some great points. I don't understand why we would hold this, though, since if you've got two different categories. There's things that we have leverage over here, which you've asked a couple of questions about, everything seems to be in complete order. And there's things that we have no leverage over that the Charter Commission would decide. We've made our recommendations, they've heard them. What are we hoping to accomplish by delaying it? We have no leverage over it, so they've heard us.
I think the feedback would probably be from Council Baker.
Well, I'd like to see their response before I make a vote on the actual item. To do that, we have a responsibility to decide something as a council. If it was not before us, then we wouldn't have that choice. But I'd like to have their response to the issues that they're raising.
May I respond?
Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Is it my understanding that you would vote against this if they made no changes to the legislation?
No, I haven't said that. But I would like to see your response before I decide what I'm going to do.
Councilor Taylor, then Councilor Cindillo.
I have to agree with Councilor Baker. I feel that the word representing is in a way presuming that they're representing where the language of who live in is accurate. And I think that it's a great point. It's a very easy thing to, I think, discussing it with the committee, with the commission, and I'd love to see you do that.
And then we can.
I was going to go on another point, but just on the point that David raised. I think it will be helpful when we do get the redline version. I mean, I've seen multiple redline versions online as I was trying to follow the changes that were being made. But I mean, when I look at where it defines legislative branch and says it defines the composition, it does say that 16 of these members, to be known as councillors at large, shall be nominated and elected by the voters at large. Two such councillors at large to be elected from each of the 8 wards of the city. Doesn't talk say anything about representing. This is the current target that I'm referring to. So it's again, I'll go. You know that I'm a you know I succeed. So I'll go through the notes and try to figure out why you changed the language to represented as opposed to following the language that already exists. But going back to your point, Josh, about how our charter exempt the city council, I'm not seeing that. So I'm sure that at some point when you get back to us, you can point me to where that is. And also, I don't recall seeing that in the state law or when I had my personal conversation with the attorney general.
Okay,
Ruthann,
and then just quickly.
David,
could you tell us when the last date that the city council can vote on this without interfering when you have to print? And well, there's another document item that's actually sort of driving when you can print the ballot. And that's the last one on the agenda for tonight, that non-binding advisory question. That does need to go on the ballot. We have to wait until 35 days before the election to get applications not to put it forward. The petition is to collect signatures to do that. I don't know if they will, but if they choose to do that, they have to submit those to us a few days before the 35 days before the election. So that we've got through September on this issue as well. Because the flyer that we send out would also have to be referenced to non-binding questions to find the ballot. You can't print the ballot until you know everything that's going to be on the ballot. So you set some time to work on it. But I would post that early enough so that by 13 minutes, so there's all the time.
Is there any 20 days delay after any
of that
to worry about?
No.
So, we
have a calendar in front of us. I just want to know when the last day the council can vote on this so that it's all clear to all of us.
I'll do it.
You'll let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But before we go on, Jake, because there is a motion to hold on this, and because we only have 10 minutes, we have to do a number of appointments which have to be done tonight. I'm wondering, is the Charter Commission going to be meeting again? It seems like there's a number of questions from the city councilors, and there may be some feedback from a lot of departments. How would the Charter, if we get all these questions to the Charter Commission, how would there be a response to it, to the city councilors?
At the moment, the Charter Commission does not have plans to meet, so we are certainly authorized to continue to meet, and we are willing to meet and take this under advisement. I will say that the law gives us the ability to draft this question, and we tried to draft it fairly. We tried to draft it in a concise way that really explained the differences. So, to the extent that the vote hinges upon the content of it, I would take issue with that. But we will look at it, and we will consider changes, but I'm certainly not going to make any promises that we will make any changes.
So, if you can't, then you've got to consider that. So, the city councils can get feedback to David to get to the Charter Commission, so that way so we can bring this back to maybe the first program to serve the city and meeting in September. So, hopefully, we can get some answers and can come up to a resolution on this because we do have a number of items we need to kind of wrap up. So, do you have any last finishing up, Jacob?
We should just be very careful about playing statesmanship. This is a procedural matter. There's politics that we can do outside the room here about yes or no on the charter, but it feels to me, frankly, like we're doing some delaying tactics procedurally.
Well, let me speak to this. I really object to this. It's not a matter of delay. Reverse missiles we have done. I think it's in the interest of I've disclosed and I've written about my concerns about the charter why I'm moving bills. But regardless of what your position is about the charter, I think it is in the public interest to have a clear an exposition of what the voters are voting on, and everybody know what it is in advance. And this gives an opportunity for the Charter Commission to reflect. They may decide to do absolutely nothing or leave it exactly the way it is. If so, so be it. But this gives us a chance to understand what exactly we're going to be voting on and what the impacts are. So I just really want to be very clear about this. It's not a delay tactic. It's a matter of trying to be clear about what we're going to vote on. So,
let me be real clear, Jake. This is not brinksmanship. Why would I want to support spending money on sending out language that I may feel is just inaccurate? That's the bottom line. It has nothing to do with delaying or brinksmanship. And I would like that, I would hope that the Charter Commission would listen to what we had to say. I think I made a very legitimate case about the language around the financial audit and around our capital improvement plan. You sit through the meetings that we have, and I would ask that they get the language correct, that's all. As far as what's going to happen, we all have our opinion on this recommended change. Our constituents are the ones that are going to resolve it. I just want what's going out to be fair. That's fair and accurate. That's all I'm asking for. And I'm happy to come up with the additional money, as I voted for the original $45,000 for them. So, not brinksmanship.
Just
your last comment. Are you saying that the Charter Commission is not going to meet and at least discuss some of the issues that we have raised, you know, especially around the language, or are you going to take a look at it?
Not at all. What I said was we have no plans to meet, but we would be happy for you to go over this, but I would not commit to any changes.
Pardon? But I mean, I'm trying to get a sense from the chair if he thinks that we've raised. I don't expect you to agree with everything that we've said, but is there some merit to something that we've said tonight that would warrant further discussion of the commission? Or are you just going to say, hey, thanks for the input, but you know we can put anything on that we want?
No, I don't think I would say we're going to need to discuss it if there weren't a point that we need to discuss it. So we will discuss it. I have my individual personal reactions to this, but it's a nine-person commission. So I think you raised some questions. I think you have a responsible public body. We should discuss those questions. But I was simply reiterating that the body has completely within its purview the ability to draft this question. We think you could draft the summary as persuasive as we wanted to, but we actually stopped there in terms of site drafting. And we will continue to do that.
Quickly, Scott, and then Allie.
I just wanted to make a suggestion to the board based on Councilor Polo's point, is that we get a schedule working back from the drop dead date of what we need to have. And I would suggest that listening to a lot of the comments here, and hopefully the Charter Commission will be responsible. You may have to schedule an extra meeting of programs and services.
We can have another meeting of programs and services specifically for this item. Based upon the timing.
It may make sense. You and I should talk. It may make sense to have a joint meeting early in September as we can.
Okay.
To save everybody time.
That's why I was suggesting the schedule working backwards. Because that may not fit into the finance figure, how that would work. All I'm saying is I think it should be clear for everybody that we understand what that schedule is working back. I know it would be helpful to me to work with the chair to do that.
Okay.
And ensure that all the questions are answered. It may require you having to meet. We have a primary next month. For those of you that weren't aware that there was a primary, but I can say that because there's going to be a lot of burden on the clerk's office coming up soon as well. So I think we need to be very, very clear about changing timelines and what the clerk's office needs to do.
Agreed. Thank you. Allison, very quickly, because I want to try to wrap things up before.
I just wanted to say that I'm in favor of holding the item. I think enough questions have come up, and the time is so short. And I thought this was a very, this agenda was very ambitious for really needed some meeting.
So we have a number of appointments.
We hold the motion to hold.
Yes, sorry. There is a motion to hold on that item. All in favor? That is unanimous.
Not unanimous.
Okay.
You gotta ask
me. Yeah. Okay. But that's one no. Okay. But that's so seven in favor, one against. Peter.
But that Yarden is going to take some discussion, and because we're basically running out of time, I will commit, because that's another election item, that if we are going to have a special meeting for the charter commission and the ballot, we can include your ballot item as well, and in that way we can have more time and not be rushed. Are you fine with that? Okay, thank you, Peter.
We'll hold on that item.
Okay, so there's a hold on document 208-17. Peter Harrington et al. Requesting the following non-binding question to be placed on November 7th ballot. Do you support rezoning village centers to allow 4-5-story mixed-use buildings near the public transit with retail on the first floor in Hopkinton, and the city recommending updating zoning ordinance for future growth? All in favor and a hold on that item? That is unanimous. Okay, so now we have the appointments, and then we'll be all set. But that, it says it's the special meeting, Peter, I'll make sure you know about that. It'll be joined with finance committee. Okay, I want this to be less controversial. 192-17 City Clerk recommending the City Council approve the date of Tuesday, November 7th, 2017, is the date of the neighborhood area council election. All in favor. Okay, there's a motion to approve. All in favor. That is unanimous. There's reappointment of Deanne Huffman, Election Commission, Deanne Huffman, 27 Indiana Terrace. You have a call to be appointed as a member of the Election Commission for term to expire March 31st, 2011.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
But I know that the letter of complaint refers to her appointment.
Yes, I will make sure that Deanne Mr. is taken care of. Is a motion to approve on that? Motion to approve, all in favor, that is unanimous. But the docket item, but the 206-17, Marjorie Buffer, 33 Embassy in Hounds, be appointed as a member of the Election Commission for term to expire March 31st, 2021, is the motion to in favor? Is a motion in favor? All in favor, it is unanimous. With the docket item 207-17, with the Carl Collins 16 Magnolia Ave, newly reappointed member of the Bio Safety Committee for term to expire December 31st, 2017. All in favor? That is the end. So thank you very much. So, motion to adjourn. We're going to be, I'll be speaking with Council, Jeff Howe to come up with what that meeting is in September for the Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.